Many of us fantasize about writing a novel, a screenplay, or maybe a memoir, if only we had the time, the money, the place to do it. Professional writers battle those same issues. In her 1929 novel, Virginia Woolf touted the need for a room of one's own. But as WBUR's Andrea Shea reports, a communal workspace called the Writer's Room of Boston is turning Woolf's notion on its head.
From a safe distance, the writing life looks romantic. Talk to most writers and they'll tell you it's anything but. Anxiety, depression, procrastination, and self-loathing can easily paralyze this solitary breed. The autobiographical character in screenwriter Charlie Kaufman's movie adaptation could be a poster child for the writer's plight. Here he is in his bedroom at the moment of creation.
To begin... How to start? I'm hungry. I should get coffee. Coffee would help me think. But I should write something first, then reward myself with coffee. Coffee and a muffin. Okay, so I need to establish the themes. Maybe banana nut. That's a good muffin.
If Kaufman had been in Boston last week, he would have found sympathy at a panel titled Life in the Toxic Triangle. The Writer's Room, a communal workspace for authors, organized this event at Grub Street, a writing center on Boston Common. Part support group, part confessional, this powwow spotlights stay-at-home writers who struggle with three things: time, money, and isolation.
For me personally, the isolation has always been the most dangerous part of the triangle.
I fantasize all the time about having time to just write.
I recently was thinking to myself, you know, I could have been somebody. I'm pretty smart. Why am I doing this? You know, so...
My most financially lucrative year as a freelancer was my first year. Everything's been gradually declining ever since. Enough so that I actually just started a job at the Whole Foods in Beacon Hill. I sell cheese also now, besides being a writer.
That's 32-year-old Paul Goldsmith. He freelances for the Boston Globe, the New York Times, and other print outlets. Goldsmith admits working from home alone under tight deadlines is brutal on the psyche and the body. He says he hit rock bottom 2 years ago.
I was smoking a pack a day, I mean, just burning through cigarettes. Wound up having panic attacks where I actually thought I was having heart trouble. And then when you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you just need to get out more.
48-year-old Amy Sutherland should have gotten out more, too. If she had, maybe she wouldn't have ended up with severe muscle spasms in her shoulders, neck, and face as she finished her second nonfiction book, Kicked, Bitten, and Scratched. She says she spent countless hours hunched over her laptop, banging out as many as 5,000 words a day. At night, Sutherland says her husband was horrified by what she'd become.
He would come in the door and he said my eyes would be going two different directions. I would have fangs and like steam coming out of my ear. And he would just grab the New Yorker and run to the bathroom and disappear for an hour. And I would be back talking to the dogs again, you know?
Sutherland is in recovery now. Goldsmith says he's also taken steps toward healing.
I got myself into a gym. I got myself into therapy. And I got myself into the writer's room.
Metaphorically, the writer's room is an antidote. Literally, it's a 1,600-square-foot space in the heart of Boston's financial district, complete with 10 cubicles, a kitchenette, and lounge. The nonprofit organization has been saving desperate housebound writers for 18 years by giving them a quiet, affordable place to work and a reason to take a shower and go to work, along with the rest of humanity. Feeling Boston's pulse and the simple act of commuting to State Street from wherever is energizing, says Writers' Room member Susan Schnurr.
People recognize that you have to get on the T, get off the T, walk, get on the elevator. Each one of those things is ritualistic, and each one prepares you, you know, so that by the time you get here, it may take a few minutes, but you plug in pretty quickly.
Stepping out of the elevator, the fifth-floor space looks like any other office, with plants, mail slots, and wall-to-wall carpeting. Then there's the door between this somewhat public vestibule and the writer's room itself. Susan Schnurr says it's fine to talk out here.
But when you open that door, It's a sacred place in there. People call it a refuge, a sanctuary, a hermitage.
Schnurr compares the writer's room experience to sitting in a church or synagogue.
When you're sitting there with a lot of people doing the same thing, you're actually connecting with them powerfully. And at a certain point, it allows you to sit down and get into the connected place that you need to be with your own work.
Right now, the writer's room has 60 members and receives about 25 new applications each year. Schnurr says many writers stay on for a very long time. In fact, some of the more senior members continue to pay the $900 in yearly dues, even after they've gone on to have fruitful careers. But the bulk of the writers here now are in their 20s and 30s. They're just starting out. 30-something poet Morgan Frank is one of them. Frank is an adjunct professor at four area schools and says she's grateful for the writer's room.
I finished my book, which I'm now sending out, my first book of poems, which I couldn't have done. And also the people at the writer's rooms are the ones who say, "What happened with your poems today?" And that is so validating to me.
Writer's Room President Jay Davidson once found validation in a successful investment banking career. Now, in semi-retirement, he's working on a few screenplays. Davidson says there's a certain irony to his living out a lifelong dream, and he has this warning.
Be careful what you wish for, because you know, it's funny. You know, you sit there for decades, you know, in big offices and cubicles, and you think, God, I can't wait to get out of this corporate mess. When I get off on my own and have a nice place and do something creative, and then you go off on your own, it's like, oh, you know, where's all my support? So, you know, that's one reason why I actually pay to come back here and sit in a cubicle, you know, that I tried to escape from before.
But for writers, there is no escaping the need to wrestle with words. Even in the restroom, a chalkboard is covered with literary quotations and musings about the act of writing. One by John Gardner reads, "It's a dream state through which words are a conduit." Beneath it, a writer's room author scratched, "Mostly, though, it's hard work." For WBUR, I'm Andrea Shea.